Our next speaker is Nicole Tauchus. Listen up. On competitiveness of rotational crops with weeds and dryland organic wheat rotations.
Hi. Today I'll be talking about the competitiveness of a few rotational crops with weeds and dryland organic wheat rotations. And we did the study at Washington State University in Pullman, Washington. So, as we heard a little bit in the organic management session yesterday, and for all of those of us who've worked in organic systems, we're well aware that weeds are one of the primary challenges associated with organic management, and that's especially true in wheat, which is planted in narrow rows where we can't do any in-crop, inter-row cultivation. And then it's also serving as a barrier to increasing the amount of organic acreage, especially in the northwestern U.S. In a survey of conventional wheat growers in Washington State that was performed in 2006, these conventional wheat growers were asked about the interest in transitioning some of their conventional acreage to organic, certified organic management. And then they were also asked about the barriers to making that decision to transition. The top reason reported by 70% of growers was the lack of ability to control weeds in organic management. So this is really serving as a barrier to increasing the amount of organic grain production. To try to get at which weeds are causing the most problems in these systems, I performed a survey with Dr. Jessica Goldberger in 2014, where I asked certified organic producers of small grains and forages in five states in the northwestern U.S. what the most problematic weeds were in their operations. And overwhelmingly, growers responded that two perennial weeds, field bindweed, seen on the left of the screen, and Canada thistle, there's a small picture of one there on the right, are the two most problematic weeds in these systems, and that growers believe they're causing the most yield loss. For those of you not well acquainted with field bindweed, as it's not very common here in the upper Midwest, it's a perennial weed with extensive rhizome structures below ground that can reach depths of 5 to 6 feet and has been reported to cause yield losses of up to 90% in wheat. And you can see in the picture of triticale here, all that white underneath the canopy are field bindweed flowers. By the end of the season, they will have crawled all the way up the small grain plants and will be reaching over the canopy. I'm sure we're all well acquainted with Canada thistle and the damages it can cause. So in the absence of chemicals, how can we control these weeds? Usually we turn to mechanical controls and we'll rely on those, like pre-plant tillage before we plant, and then inter-row cultivation and a host of secondary tillage implements in crop. However, Pullman is located here in the eastern part of Washington in an area called the Palouse region. You can see a picture on the bottom, known for its steep rolling hills. Most of these hills are in crop production, and so in the fall they'll look like this. I took this picture standing at the bottom of a hill that's pretty typical to the Palouse region. You can see that's tilled, and the grades of these hills are on average between 30% and 60%. So we probably don't want to rely too much on these mechanical controls, as they'll result in deleterious amounts of erosion over time. Therefore, we'll turn to cultural controls, like an increased seeding rate, which has been shown to be effective, like we heard from our last speaker. And then also here, I'm going to be focusing on crop rotation. So what competitive crops can we add into these winter wheat rotations? In eastern Washington and the northwestern U.S. in general, winter wheat is the cash crop, and growers want to be planting that as much as possible. Also, another thing to keep in mind when considering what crops to add is that we don't get very much precipitation in the summer. The whole year we only get 18 to 20 inches of precip. Again, most of that falling outside of the growing season. Therefore, we really can only turn to really drought-hardy crops. Therefore, alfalfa is a good candidate as it has a deep taproot, which can be very competitive for soil moisture and can probably use that attribute to compete well with weeds. And it's also been observed to decrease weed seed production and to compete well with spring emerging weeds in the past. In terms of grain crops we can rotate with winter wheat, we have triticale. Being a hybrid with rye, it grows taller and puts on more biomass earlier in the season than wheat. And so we think it can have a competitive advantage from those attributes. Also, barley, while it's shorter in stature, has historically been cultivated in the area. and therefore there's already a market and a little knowledge surrounding growing barley. And also it's been implicated to have some allelopathic attributes. And I've observed that it does seem to be more competitive with weeds than wheat, but we'll get into that. So these are the cropping systems that we're looking at. System one is an alternative system to the Palouse. There's not a lot of forage production in the area because there aren't very many livestock productions. However, there does seem to be some market for alfalfa. So in system one, we have 3 years of alfalfa followed by winter wheat. We'll be comparing alfalfa as a rotational crop to system three winter wheat, which is a more common system to the area. And in that system, spring wheat and winter peas are, again, the rotational crops. But we'll be comparing the weed biomass in alfalfa to the weed biomass in peas, and then also comparing the carryover effect of the weed suppression in those two leguminous rotation crops by looking at the weed biomass in the following winter wheat. While we don't have a winter wheat phase in these systems following spring barley and winter triticale, we're going to look at the weed biomass levels in those crops and also compare those with wheat. So this study was performed as part of a larger, longer-term study that began in 2002 as a transition study. And then the systems I showed on the previous slide were put in around 2008 and those ended in 2014. We took complete weed sampling from 2011 to 2014 by taking clippings of above-ground biomass at the time of peak biomass accumulation. We sorted those samples by separating the crop from the weed species. All that biomass was then dried and weighed. I analyzed the weed biomass using ProcMix and SAS with year and crop within system as fixed effects. Since there was an interaction between year and weed biomass within a crop, I standardized between years by computing weed biomass as a percent of total standing biomass. So again, the main objectives, we're comparing weed biomass between our rotational crops. We're investigating the residual effects of rotational crops in wheat. So here we'll be comparing wheat following alfalfa to wheat following pea. And we're investigating differences in competitive ability between certain crop and weed species. That is to say, do certain crops compete better with certain weed species? With the idea that if we have a problem in a field with a certain weed species, we can maybe attempt to remediate that by adding a rotational crop in with wheat. So moving on to the results. On the x-axis, you can see we have the three production years of alfalfa. It was established in year one. The red and green bars are two perennial weeds field bindweed and Canada thistle. And you can see that weed biomass was kept relatively low throughout the production of alfalfa for those two species. However, alfalfa seemed to compete less well with the winter annual grasses downy brome and jointed goatgrass. As you can see, the levels jumped up in years two and year three of both those grasses. These effects seem to carry over into the next year of wheat. So in this graph, again, you'll see the biomass of these weed species calculated as a percent of the total biomass that was there, which again varied between years due to precipitation. And you can see that in wheat following alfalfa, which is the green bar, weed biomass of Canada thistle was very low, and it was significantly lower in wheat following alfalfa than in wheat following pea. We didn't see much of a difference in field bindweed and wheat following those two legumes, but we do see a carryover effect of that high amount of biomass of the winter annual grasses, and that carried over into the following winter wheat crop. However, we see that jointed goatgrass didn't seem, or winter peas in system three didn't seem to compete very well with jointed goatgrass either. So alfalfa may, in that case, provide a more suppressive effect, at least relative to peas, which is a fairly common crop in that rotation. So again, I broke out the life history of weeds in those two systems. So the blue bar corresponds to the winter annuals. That seemed to be fairly consistent between the two legume crops. So in wheat following alfalfa and wheat following pea, that was about the same. Perennial weed biomass, the orange block, seems to be lower following alfalfa. However, this green block represents the volunteer alfalfa that we observed in the following winter wheat crop. As we were attempting to keep tillage levels low in this study, due to the risk from erosion on these slopes. We failed to do a good job terminating the alfalfa, and that's a real cause of concern in these systems where we can't go in and spray it out if it doesn't die over the winter. Therefore, this shows us that we might need to do more aggressive tillage than we did following alfalfa, which was just a shallow pass with a plow. It might require chisel plowing or disc ripping. Moving on to the weeds in the grain crops, these are the results for weeds in barley. If you look at the picture, we saw really good weed suppression in barley in 2014, and that's what the picture shows. And that's what you see in those two, the blue line and the purple line. You can see those are the three, on the x-axis, those are the 3 years of system one. So we went from taking out the alfalfa to winter wheat to spring barley. And we see a reduction in weed biomass in spring barley relative to what was there in the wheat crop the previous year. Those bars show that we did multiple system replicates, so we did different starts of that system just to get more replicates out in the field. So we are seeing a reduction in spring barley. That red line is what happens when you fail to get good barley establishment, which was what occurred in 2012 due to a really wet spring. But in cases of good barley establishment, it seems that weed reduction was reduced relative to winter wheat. Moving on to, I have all the weed biomass for all the years, so I didn't standardize it between years. And the blue bars are barley. Again, in 2012, you can see high weed biomass levels due to poor establishment. But in 2013 and 2014, we're seeing that barley competed better with weeds than did winter triticale, which is the orange bars. That was mostly due to a reduction in field bindweed biomass and barley. Again, the blue bars are field bindweed biomass and barley. The orange is field bindweed and triticale. And we're seeing significantly lower levels of field bindweed in barley compared to triticale. And while it doesn't seem to be significant, looking at our error bars of field bindweed from barley versus winter and spring wheat, which are the green and yellow bars respectively, we do see that there seems to be better competitive ability of barley with field bindweed biomass as compared to wheat. So that may be worth noting in the future. Our hypothesis was that winter triticale would compete well with field bindweed in the beginning, and that turned out to be incorrect, as we see that field bindweed was crawling all the way up the triticale stems and pulling it down. Though we did see that triticale competed quite well with Canada thistle, as you can see in this column, Canada thistle biomass in triticale was lower in almost all instances compared to the other grain crops in the system. So in conclusion, we observed alfalfa to be highly competitive with Canada thistle, a little less so than with field bindweed, and it was less competitive with winter annual grasses. However, we did observe a carryover effect of weed suppression into the following crop, but that's only relevant in terms of increasing yield if we effectively terminate that alfalfa. We found spring barley to be the most competitive with field bindweed and triticale to be the most competitive with Canada thistle. Thank you very much. I'd like to thank our field techs for all that they do, and I'd be happy to take your questions.
We have time for one or two questions.
Okay. Frank?
Yeah, with Jane Hooker as being a problem, regardless of your next, regardless of the system, you basically have two choices. You can set the combine to take the seed out of the field.
So the question was about would I put the jointed goat grass seed back in the field out of the back of the combine or keep it in the seed? I think the marketing of organic wheat can be very profitable. It depends on what your market is, who you're selling it to, but some growers can get anywhere from $12 to $15 a bushel for wheat. If that were the case, then I would probably clean it. If I didn't have a good market, then I would probably clean the grain with the combine and look at crops that would be competitive with jointed goat grass the following year, or if I was going in and following with a spring crop, I'd do some pre-plant tillage.
Thank you.